Radio 2 students hospitalized. 9 others suffered slight injuries. A 4-vehicle crash in front of Higley High School in Gilbert.
Looked like a pretty devastating accident. So fortunately, we only had 2 students that had, again, non-life-threatening injuries. And it looks like most people wearing their seatbelts, and everybody came out of this unscathed.
The Mojave County Sheriff's Office says a 16-year-old boy who died after being shot in the head was playing Russian roulette.
This is clearly something you don't play with, a weapon, a loaded weapon, or even if you know if a weapon is unloaded, you can never trust a weapon. They're dangerous.
A psychologist said Jared Loeffner, who's accused of that Tucson shooting rampage that targeted Representative Gabrielle Giffords, is still delusional, but she believes he can be restored to competency after another 8 months of treatment. The Pinal County Sheriff's canine used to capture a Casa Grande man who was carrying a sword after a chase.
He was carrying a duffel bag, and we could visually see a samurai-style sword have you sticking out of the bag.
George Tanner, Arizona News.
This Jacob York, KVNX Traffic, a service of your Valley Chevy dealers. Look for a collision on the right shoulder, westbound I-10 at 35th Avenue. Another wreck southbound I-17 at the stack. That's going to be a bugaboo. Look for an injury accident, Pinnacle Peak Road at Tatum. Why get a Silverado during the Chevy season of doing? Well, because it's the truck that can do it all. No matter who you are or what's on your to-do list, get to your Chevy dealer and get your truck today. Here is your Wednesday afternoon fofo.
Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center. Wrapping up our last couple of days of September, tomorrow and Friday, they will be warm, 103 to 105. But then moisture starts to move in from the south into the weekend. By Friday and Saturday night, scattered showers and thunderstorms around the deserts, some gusty winds and blowing dust. Jim Howell, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
Thank you, Jimmy. KFNX News time is 4:04. Currently, we're at 96 degrees. Our next news will be in 30 minutes or when it breaks here on KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. I'm Chet Reynolds, and you're up to date.
Fortunately, what you just heard was not a real emergency. But if it was, would you know what to do? Could your family cope without vital services for a few hours, a few days, a few weeks?
Roger, responding now.
Disaster strikes when we least expect it, so be prepared. Be prepared to stay. Be prepared to go. Just in case, Arizona.
Get emergency preparedness information at justincasearizona.com and bookmark azein.gov for real-time disaster updates. Attention travelers, if your plans include driving through the Phoenix area Friday night through Saturday afternoon this weekend, listen up. The eastbound I-10 will be closed in the Southeast Valley near Tempe, Chandler, and Ahwatukee. ADOT urges you to use an alternate route or travel before or after the closure to avoid heavy delays. Learn more at azdot.gov. That's azdot.gov.
Arizona's News Talk Leader. KFNX, AM 1100.
This is Legalese, where the law is always on your side. Now introducing your host, a longtime veteran of the courts, Dennis Willinchek.
Well, in the legal world, we call that a fraud, Chet. Dennis Willinchek is not on the show today. This is Jack Willinchek, Dennis Willinchek's son. Dennis, of course, is busy doing what lawyers do best, which is billing hours. The topic of today's show is something very near and dear to my heart, literally. We'll be talking about organ donation. I have several guests on the show. One is Miss Chris Patterson, who is a spokesperson for DonateLifeAZ.org, the Arizona Organ Donor Registry. Also, we have Miss Desiree Garcia, who has a story to tell, a personal story about organ donation. And also in the studio is Risa Simon, who's the founder of KidneyKinships.org, a living kidney donor organization. Also, the ProActiveLink.com, which empowers and educates kidney patients. I thought quickly I'd respond to something that happened on the show last week. Last week we had on a candidate for mayor of City of Phoenix, Wes Gullett. And Dennis Willinchek, your regular host, stated on the air that we'd given every opportunity to Mr. Stanton, who was running against Mr. Gullett, to come on the show, and he was clearly evading coming on the show. There was a very small article about it today in the Arizona Republic. I just wanted to say that it is true we gave Mr. Stanton any opportunity even to pre-record a show in between now and November 8th, and his people, or him personally, who knows, declined to do it. So if that isn't evading the show, then I don't know what is. I'd like to ask Mr. Stanton to make me a BLT, just hold the bacon, hold the lettuce, hold the tomato. Seems to me it's the same thing. But that said, we'll move on to today's topic. There's some very scary statistics about organ donors in the state of Arizona and across the country. According to organdonor.gov, over 100,000 people are waiting to get an organ donation as we speak, with an average of 20 casualties a day. Statistics say that one organ donor can save up to 8 lives, although I've also seen the statistics that one organ donor can save up to 20 lives. Maybe one of you guys can help explain that to me, how the variation in that.
Definitely. One organ donor can save 8 lives. They can donate their heart, their liver, their kidneys, pancreas, lungs, and small intestine. And one organ and tissue donor can save up to 50 lives in terms of giving tissue to help heal burn victims or corneas to give sight.
Okay, when you say tissue, then you're referring to the skin, to...
Exactly.
Right. Okay. I wasn't even aware that really you could donate skin. One of the things I'd like to talk to you guys about, I pulled up a list of the common myths about organ donation off the Mayo's website. And that's one of the things they talk about. You know, it's a common myth that if you donate skin, you're not going to be able to have an open casket, you know, funeral. But, of course, that's not true. Maybe you can explain why.
No, that is not true. You can definitely have an open casket funeral. What we definitely honor the donor in every possible way. They are the most admirable people to give such a gift to heal and save other people's lives. And so in that term, it's a very immediate process. And it's surgical in any other respect. And we, rebuild the body in terms of making it, an open casket funeral so that the family can grieve as they, you know, duly would.
Right. Well, what I read is that typically the skin is taken off of the small of the back even, so that, you know, if you're in the casket, you're going to be clothed and there's no way anybody would see it.
Exactly. It's going to be off your back or the back of your legs.
Back of your legs, okay. So I've seen some statistics like in 2008, I guess, 60% of living donors are women. That statistic is actually reversed for deceased donations, meaning that more of the people who are donating after they die are men. That was kind of interesting to me. I guess there's a difference in the personalities there between the kind of people that wish to be living donors and the kind of people that are more comfortable with being deceased donors.
Well, I would actually refute that.
Yeah.
In terms of, I think it's across the board, most Americans support an organ and tissue donation. Statistically, concerning the comment you just made, those people are actually donors. However, in Arizona, there are more than 1.8 million people signed up as donors.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you would think, okay, we have 2,100 people in Arizona waiting right now for an organ transplant. So you would think, why do we need to sign anyone else up? We've got 1.8 million people signed up. To become an organ donor is a specific and unique set of circumstances, usually caused by a trauma, such as a car accident, an aneurysm, a gunshot wound. And those certain set of circumstances begins the ball rolling in terms of being a donor. So I don't know what those stats that you just talked about were reflecting.
Right.
However, in 2010, we had 119 organ donors in Arizona that saved 345 lives.
Wow. But even so, it's not nearly enough. I saw that in 2010, there were 682 Arizonans added to the organ donor list, but only 356 transplants were actually performed. So that's at least 200 short this year. If that continues on every year, it's going to be impossible catching up, right?
Exactly. Of the deaths that are reported, only about 1% can be organ donors. Meanwhile, to be a tissue or cornea donor, it doesn't have to require those set of circumstances.
Okay. Why don't you explain the process for registering to donate organs?
Definitely. All that people need to do is sign up online at donatelifeaz.org or call 1-800-94-DONOR. If you want to become a volunteer, you can definitely call 1-800-94-DONOR as well. Those are the two immediate options. Also, when you go to the MVD to get your driver's license and ID, you can sign up and register by checking a box on your application. But we don't want you to wait that long. We want you to do it today.
Right, right. Well, let me ask you, I mean, what reasons could there be not to do this? I mean, are there religious reasons?
No, major religions support organ and tissue donation as the greatest gift to give to another human being. Actually, in November, 2 weekends before Thanksgiving every year, there's National Donor Sabbath, and that is when religious leaders across the state, across the nation, work with their communities to promote organ and tissue donation. And last year, Donor Network of Arizona, who I'm a spokesperson for, the only recovery organization in the state, we worked with more than 60 churches and other religious centers to promote donation. So they are very supportive.
Good, good. You know, of course, the show is called Legalese. We like to talk about legal issues whenever we can. I saw that there was a bill proposed in the New York State Legislature about a year ago that would have made it so that basically everybody was presumed to be an organ donor. You'd have to opt out of the plan as opposed to opting into it. You know, I tried to see if anything ever happened with the bill. I was told, Risa, you were just telling me that, you know, it's still in limbo. But it raises a lot of interesting questions. You know, I'd actually like to get some calls about it. It's 602-277-KFNX. That's 602-277-5369. Should we have a law that says that everybody donates their organs after death? Of course, anybody who's eligible, first of all. My understanding from what you've told me is that not everybody is necessarily eligible when they die to donate organs.
Well, we never say don't discard yourself. We say register right. as an organ tissue donor and, you know, as fate plays in, comes into play.
Sure. But the fact of the matter you're saying is that only 1% can actually do donate after death, so which means, of course, that we need even more people to register.
Right. Okay. For organs.
Okay. We're going to take a break here, but when we come back, we're going to keep talking about how important it is to be an organ donor, and we've got somebody here with a story to tell about it. This is Legalese with Jack Wilczek. Dennis Wilczek is out of town.
A righty on the left coast. The Lars Larson Show. Weeknights at 10 on KFNX.
Since 1991, the law offices of Wilczek & Bartness have provided quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Wilczek & Bartness specialize in cases of breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Wilczek & Bartness today at 602-606-2810, 602-606-2810.
Are you interested in rejuvenation and prefer natural remedies over many dangerous prescription drugs? If so, then check out healthgalleria.com. With over 20 years in the natural health field, we have the answers, and we can assist you on the road to better health today. Visit healthgalleria.com or call 800-422-0808. Call today. You'll be happy you did. That's 800-422-0808.
London Gold, it's the best.
When I said yes, it's because you said you would love me for the rest of my life. When I said yes, it's because I felt the same. Now, it's my turn to ask you the big question. Do you know that a woman can never have too many diamonds? There's a reason for the expression, diamonds are a girl's best friend. Oh, but don't get jealous, because my love for you is very different than my love for diamonds.
London Gold has been helping couples express their love with diamonds for over 30 years at three Valley locations. Browse the largest selection of diamond stud earrings in the Southwest, located in Scottsdale, Arrowhead, and Chandler, and at LondonGold.com. London Gold, voted best in Phoenix and always better than a sale with recent price reductions on thousands of your favorite items. Take the guesswork out of gift giving. Diamonds are a safe bet and they never go out of style.
London Gold, it's the best.
Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX, AM 1100.
Welcome back to Legalese with Dennis Wilczek. Normally, today it's with Jack Wilczek. Today's topic is organ donation. Like I said at the top of the hour, this is something that's very near to my heart, literally. It was kind of a joke, but it's true, too. My own mother is looking for a donation. I have offered to do it, but maybe towards the end of the show we'll talk about a lot of the barriers there are to doing that. For one, she needs a donation because her particular disease is a genetic disease, and, you know, they have to make sure I don't have it, too. There's a lot of other barriers, too. She's currently going through tests. As we speak, she's sitting in Mayo's. Otherwise, I would have had her on the show. So that's my personal story. We've got another story from Desiree Garcia. I understand that your brother was an organ donor.
Yes. My brother passed away in 2005. He suffered a gunshot wound to the head. When they rushed my brother to the hospital, the doctors came in and told my family that they're running tests on him, and there's a good chance that he's not going to survive this. The test that they did was to declare my brother brain dead. Mm-hmm. Not exactly sure which test they were, but this happened in 2005 on Christmas Day, so my entire family was here with us.
Okay.
My brother was a very athletic little boy. He was 14 at the time. He really enjoyed sports. He played baseball up until he was probably 13 years old. We grew up in a not-so-great neighborhood. We kind of grew up poor. So we didn't know anything about organ donation.
Okay.
So come the day of when my brother had suffered the gunshot wound and the opportunity was presented to us, the hospital staff came to us and told us that there was no way he was going to survive this. Would we consider organ donation? Because we hadn't known anything about the topic, my mom automatically said no.
Okay.
Absolutely not. You know, she's thinking that they're asking her if she would donate her son's organs because they don't want to save him.
Right. That's a common myth. We'll talk about that later on the show.
Right. Which, you know, is completely untrue. Why is my brother's life less valuable than someone who is waiting for an organ? So after my sisters and I talked to my mom about the topic, you know, we told her that he can't be here with us physically, you know,
right.
That it would be a good idea for us to donate his organs so he could live on spiritually.
Right.
He could save someone else's life. My brother donated two kidneys and his heart and his liver. Unfortunately, the heart recipient didn't make it through the surgery, but Donor Network had reassured us that his family was even grateful for a second chance at life.
Oh.
It's been almost 6 years since my brother passed away, and this maybe 2 months ago, I sent a letter to the recipients asking to get in contact with them. Yeah. I want to know how they're doing, who they are, how they are.
Yeah.
And recently, the kidney recipient contacted me. I have a video on YouTube from Donor Network. So the kidney recipient contacted me, and now we're friends on Facebook, and we're planning to meet in December 6th, which is actually 2 days before her birthday and 20 days, you know, before the anniversary of my brother's death. So
right.
I'm really excited about that.
I like how in the end what we said is true, that it gives life, and that you're going to meet one of these people.
Mm-hmm.
You're in touch with them.
Yes.
That's pretty powerful. You know, I want to give the listeners some detailed instructions on how to register through the website. Maybe you'd like to go ahead and do that, Chris.
Yes, it takes less than 5 minutes. All you need to do is go to donatelifeaz.org or call 1-800-94-DONOR.
Okay. Easy enough. You know, before the break, we were talking a little bit about the idea that we could pass a law that says that you have to opt, you know, out of donating kidney, that everybody is presumed to be everybody's presumed to be an organ donor. You know, again, I'd like to know what the listeners out there think, but Risa, you're saying you've got some other thoughts on you know, whether a law like that would get passed, how it would work. I wasn't even aware that there's other countries that do have laws like that in Europe. I know that Spain has a law like that.
Yeah, there are some countries in Europe that are doing this right now quite successfully.
You know, hold on. I think we gotta turn your mic on. Chet, can you activate your mic? Great. Okay, great. Go ahead, Risa.
My thoughts are that there are a good number of people out there that want to do the right thing. They just haven't taken the time to make the call to register to check the box at the DMV. There's a lot of really good-hearted people out there that talk about this is the, you know, these are their intentions. And it doesn't get funneled down to the right people. Maybe their family aren't aware of their intentions. And so it, to me and many people, feel that it would make a lot more sense to actually opt out rather than opt in. Because if you feel that strongly about not doing it, you're going to make sure that you make that known as opposed to opting in. Giving right. life is one of the most incredible things you can do. And so it just seems to make a whole lot of sense.
Right. Well, you know, when you weigh the benefits and the disadvantages, it seems to me, first of all, that there's a real emergency, you know, with what we're with the situation. You know, it's almost worse than a war. We've got 20 people dying a day because they could not get an organ donation at any given time. 100,000 people waiting for one. And then on the other side, I mean, you know, after death, we've already talked about the fact that donating an organ will not affect, you know, an open casket, you know, funeral. I personally struggle with all our reasons not to do it, except that, like you say, you know, people just don't have the time necessarily to go on the website and register, or they forget to do it. You know, it's a case, you know, with any charitable cause, I think, is that people just don't have the time. So, again, if you didn't hear it early in the show, there is a website. Let's throw out the name again.
Definitely, DonateLifeAZ.org.
Yeah, that you can go on to. And right now, as we sit here, as we speak, you can go ahead and register yourself as an organ donor. So, yeah, like we're saying, it's a real emergency. People don't realize just how severe it is. You know, deceased donation isn't necessarily enough. In the U.S., 2.4 million people die every year, but only 15,000 of them qualify for organ donation. We started to talk a little bit about that. Again, I'm not really sure why that would be. I guess just that the organs aren't necessarily of
they're not viable usually.
Viable,
yes.
Right. But you were saying that tissue donation can still happen with those people.
Definitely. And we always say, you know, sometimes we get people that say, well, I had cancer 10 years ago, or my eyes don't work for me. Why would anyone else want them? We always say, don't rule yourself out. Mm-hmm. Sign up. You know, you would be surprised. There is a man in our office who is a coronary recipient, and one of his transplants was from a 17-year-old. And when he had an accident unrelated later that actually ruined that transplant, he got a transplant from a 70-year-old. So do not rule yourself out. Let the doctors decide.
Right, right. And again, as we said before, no major religion opposes donation. Most religious or spiritual groups accept organ and tissue donation as a gift of life to a fellow human being. The time we have left in the segment, I'd like to just go over some of these common myths of organ donation. I pulled up a list off the Mayo's website. One of them is that, quote, if I agree to donate my organs, the hospital staff won't work as hard to save my life. I think that we heard that earlier from Desiree. She was saying that was her mom's concern when she was approached about donating organs or having her son donate organs. That's there's no truth to that.
And I think Desiree put it very eloquently. Why would her, you know, brother be less valuable than anyone else? We're in the business of saving lives. And just to put any other thoughts, you know, uneasy thoughts for your listeners, there are actually two different teams. There's the team that works to save your life in terms of doing the best they can. You come from a car accident. They're doing everything they can. And it is only after you're declared brain dead, then, and based on your decision that you chose to help someone else's life, then a transplant team comes to the patient's hospital to recover those organs.
Right.
So two separate teams.
Right. Okay. Another myth is that, quote, maybe I won't really be dead when they sign my death certificate. Again, there's no truth to that. I And no. I don't even understand that myth.
No, exactly. I mean, the doctors definitely check and recheck the brain death diagnosis.
Right. Another myth is that if I'm under age 18, I'm too young to make this decision. You know, speaking from a legal perspective, I believe that's true, but your parents can always authorize an organ donation, right?
Exactly. You can actually sign up to be a donor at 15 years and 7 months. But like you said, if you're under 18, it's the parents' decision. However, you know, I've met so many families that have made that decision if they lost their baby. I have heard so many amazing stories. For instance, this one woman said, my child was, you know, dying in my arms and died, and I didn't want any other parent to feel how I did that day. And so they chose donation to help someone else.
Right. On the same note, people are never too old to donate.
Exactly. We say sign up.
Right. Okay. We've got a little bit time left before we take a break. So let me ask you one last time, what's the website?
DonateLifeAZ.org, or if you like the old-fashioned way, you can call 1-800-94-DONOR.
Okay. All right. I want to thank my guests. Ms. Chris Patterson, who is a spokesperson for DonateLifeAZ.org. Also, Ms. Desiree Garcia, who is here to tell us about the experience that her family had with organ donation. When we come back from the break, we'll be talking with Risa Simon, who's the founder of KidneyKinships.org, a living kidney donor organization. This is Jack Wilinchek on Legalese.
Radio. I'm Barbara Hall. A federal judge has temporarily blocked parts of Alabama's controversial immigration law from taking effect. Governor Robert Bentley doesn't see the ruling as a defeat.
Judge Blackburn upheld the majority of our law and temporarily, and I say temporarily, enjoined only four sections. With those parts that were upheld, we have the strongest immigration law in this country.
The ruling allows officials to check the immigration status of public school students, but it blocks a ban on illegal immigrants looking for work. The manslaughter trial of Dr. Conrad Murray continued in Los Angeles today. Michael Jackson's personal assistant testified he received a series of frantic phone calls from Murray the day the pop singer died. Amazon unveiled its Kindle Fire today. The tablet computer will sell for less than half the price of Apple's iPad. This is CNN Radio.
Arizona News Radio, two students hospitalized, nine others refused treatment for a vehicle accident outside of Higley High School in Gilbert.
With 11 people involved with this, we could have had, should have had a lot more serious injuries than there were. So fortunately, we only had two patients with, again, minor injuries that went to local hospitals.
A psychologist says the Tucson shooter, Jared Lofter, is now aware he's slain several people, and he no longer believes that Representative Gabriel Giffords is among the people he killed. Also concerns in Tucson about a suspicious truck near the courthouse. Immigration and Customs officers wrap up a seven-day roundup of illegal criminal aliens.
We do have these periodic national initiatives where we try and get everybody on the same page and focused on going out there and looking for at-large criminal aliens.
Yavapai County Sheriff's deputies arrest three people in connection with the illicit sales of prescription drugs at a Cottonwood home.
These drugs are very dangerous. They're designed to be prescribed by doctors.
George Tanner, Arizona News.
This check of York Haven Extrapis, a service of your Valley Chevy dealers. Look for an overturned vehicle eastbound Loop 202. That is at Greenfield. Also, we have an accident on the right shoulder eastbound I-10 at 16th Street. Look for an injury accident Thunderbird Road at 47th Ave. Why get a Silverado during the Chevy season of doing? Well, because it's a truck that can do it all, no matter who you are or what's on your to-do list. Get your Valley Chevy dealer and get your truck today. Here's your Wednesday afternoon forecast.
Jim Howell for the KFNX Weather Center. Wrapping up our last couple of days of September, tomorrow and Friday, they will be warm, 103 to 105. But then moisture starts to move in from the south into the weekend. By Friday and Saturday night, scattered showers and thunderstorms around the deserts, some gusty winds and blowing dust. Jim Howell, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
Thank you, Jimmy. KFNX News time is 4:33. Currently in Phoenix, we are at 98 degrees. Our next news will be in 30 minutes or when it breaks. You're listening to KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. I'm Chet Reynolds, and you're up to date.
Since 1991, the law offices of Willinchek & Bartness have provided quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Willinchek & Bartness specialize in cases of breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Willinchek & Bartness today at 602-606-2810, 602-606-2810.
Attention women business owners looking for strategies to grow your business and build professional relationships with other successful women? Then we invite you to join the Phoenix chapter of the National Association of Women Business Owners. NABO is one of the five most influential organizations in the Valley, according to the Business Journal. We offer many networking opportunities, business education seminars, and a nationally recognized mentoring program. For more info, go to nawbophx.org or call 602-772-4985. That's 602-772-4985.
Homeowners, did you know a burglar could break into your home and get away in just 5 minutes? A locked door may not be enough to keep a thief out of your home. Think about what you can lose, and then think about this. Now you can get a free security system monitored by ADT, the leader in home security. Pick up your phone now and get free hardware, free medical and fire alert, and free activation. It's an $850 value. Just call Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer, at 1-800-948-7434. You'll get 24-hour protection, and there's no cost for parts or activation. So call now about a free security system monitored by ADT. Call 1-800-948-7434. $99 installation charge. 36-month monitoring agreement at $35.99 a month. Call for terms and conditions to this offer and protect your home license numbers. Call now. 1-800-948-7434. That's 1-800-948-7434.
Check us out on the web at 1100kfnx.com.
Welcome back to Legalese. This is your host, Jack Willinchek. Your regular host, Dennis Willinchek, is busy. Today on the show, we're talking about how to become an organ donor and the crucial importance of becoming an organ donor. We'll be talking to Risa Simon, who's the founder of KidneyKinships.org. Risa, can you explain a little bit what your website does, what your organization does? I'm sorry.
Right, Kidney Kinships. Let me back up a bit and tell you why we created Kidney Kinships.
Okay.
Why it is an outreach organization for individuals that are either in need of a kidney transplant and individuals that might be contemplating becoming a kidney donor.
Right.
A living kidney donor. So we're going to kind of shift gears from a deceased donation
right.
to living. And I'll tell you a little bit about my path. I inherited a genetic disease known as PKD, polycystic kidney disease, and you figure when you have a genetic kidney disease, you know it all in terms of, well, okay, I know there's no treatment. I know there's no cure. So, all right, there's two options, dialysis or transplant. Thinking about that for a very short period of time, I came to the conclusion that, well, I'd rather not have a medication for the rest of my life that would suppress my immune system. So I thought, okay, sounds like the easiest path here is just to wait till I got sick enough and I'd get on dialysis. But being the type of individual that I am, I'm a sponge. I love to learn, and I just have this voracious appetite to see what I, you know, what's out there, what's new, and how I could actually improve my path. I had a profound experience and it was really a seminal moment when I discovered the difference between dialysis and transplant. And oddly enough, I wasn't given that information, the details behind the difference between dialysis and transplant from my own healthcare providers, nor did I know that as an individual who lost
right.
their father at an early age.
Right. Well, you know, I mentioned at the top of the show that my mother needs a transplant. That's actually the condition that she has is PKD. As I said, I've offered to give that transplant, but the problem is it's a genetic condition. They have to make sure I don't have it first. You mentioned dialysis. First of all, I'm not really certain what it is. I know that my mother had dialysis years ago. Maybe you can explain that a little bit.
Yeah, dialysis is actually what we call an artificial kidney, where you're hooked up to a machine, and I usually describe it as being tethered to a machine several hours a day, several days a week. Some people do it daily, depending if they're doing in-home dialysis or in-center dialysis. And much of what's unknown about dialysis, even though it is a life-saving modality, it is a modality that can be quite stressful on the body. It's debilitating. It can be demoralizing. It just takes a tremendous amount of time demand on the patient, and it's very wearing. So when you finish dialysis, you really it's not a pun to say you feel drained. It is filtering your blood through a machine, and just a few days go by, and you start to feel like you've got a little bit more zip, and it's time to get hooked up again.
Right.
The sad statistics behind dialysis is that it has a high mortality rate, and I'll just share from my own experience, and I feel that I'm a fairly knowledgeable individual. I had no idea that dialysis would only offer 10, at best 13% function, where right. your normal kidneys are 24/7. But here we're getting 10 to 13% function when we're hooked up for those
right.
periods.
Right.
So,
well,
big difference.
You started to talk about your personal experience with this. We have on the line Melissa Blevins. Maybe you'd like to introduce Melissa.
Melissa, my angel, my saving grace. Hello, Melissa.
Hello, Risa.
So good to hear from you. I'm so glad you could join us on the show. Melissa changed my life. As I learned more about the preemptive transplant process, which basically enlightened me to a whole new path, that I didn't have to wait till I got sick, that I could actually bring a living donor to the table, so to speak. I could be an accountable patient that said, all right, I'm going to be proactive. I'm going to see how I can create the best possible path for myself so I can live the best possible life. And Melissa passed my path during my process, and I would love for her to chime in, since she is on the line, so she can tell us a little bit more about what motivated her to become a living kidney donor. She's just an extraordinary person. She has a huge heart, and the position that she holds, and I hope she will talk about that, because that in and of itself is admirable. She's truly given me the best life possible.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Melissa.
Thank you, Risa. You're too kind. I guess one of the important things to know is that I am a healthcare professional. I'm a registered nurse, and my background is in transplant. So my clinical expertise is in transplant. I've been on all sides of this of the transplant process. So I've seen it from a different perspective. My current role is I'm the administrator for Mayo Clinic transplant program, and for heart, liver, kidney, pancreas, and for the VAD programs. So I have another different perspective in managing the operations of that program. So really, this has been my life's message, I feel like. And really, for me, it started many years ago. I was a transplant nurse coordinator. I had an 18-month-old child who I called Baby Dibs, and he needed a liver transplant. And back then, I happened to know of a situation inside the same hospital. This was not in Arizona, and where it was a 4-year-old child who could have donated, and the parents chose not to. And that night, both of the children died. And I thought then, that changed me, because I thought, how unnecessary. We lost both of them. And so that really, after that, I just became a walking, talking commercial announcement for Be a Living Donor.
Mm-hmm.
So fast forward 15 years, and I'm still, really, I'm very passionate about transplant, and because I've seen all the benefits from it.
And but I came to a point where I thought, you know, I'm not walking the talk.
Right.
I advocate for living donation, but have I really done it? So that's when, shortly after that, I met Risa. And I knew we were the same blood type. We developed the friendship. It wasn't my original thought, my first thought when I first met her. But as we developed a friendship, and people who are into transplant talk about transplant, and if you're kind of not into it, you know, people get a glazed look. It's like, okay, let's change the subject. But Risa didn't. She was all, you know, she would talk and listen, and we would talk together about it for as long as our energy would hold up. And so
right.
We had many really wonderful conversations. And then in April of last year, I just decided, you know, I'm going to do this. So I told her. And Risa, I'll let you tell that part of the story.
Well, it was an incredible day, I'll tell you. I may not remember how many breaths I took to realize that I wasn't dreaming when Melissa did offer to be my donor. I had a number of donors tested and disqualified, healthy individuals who thought for sure they'd be qualified and for one reason or another were disqualified. And Melissa,
let me ask you, how many donors had to be disqualified? How many were disqualified?
I had three fully tested and a fourth that had had been scheduled to be tested.
Okay, we're going to have to take a break here in a moment.
Okay.
When we come back, we'll keep talking about your personal experience with receiving an organ donation and with Melissa Blevins, who was the organ donor. This is Jack Wilinchek on KFNX.
Good deals at the speed of sound. Don't miss Sky Ponds Live every Monday at 3 p.m. Sky Ponds Live, building business, benefiting charity, and boosting people. Sky Ponds Live, bloody good deals at the speed of sound, Monday at 3 p.m.
Since 1991, the law offices of Wilinchek & Bartness have provided quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Wilinchek & Bartness specialize in cases of breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Wilinchek & Bartness today at 602-606-2810, 602-606-2810.
These days you hear them everywhere. Get out of debt quick promises asking you to call right now to solve all your credit problems. But please, listen carefully. Don't make a huge mistake. There is a better way. Trinity Debt Management. Many debt settlement companies have created a dangerous misunderstanding. Simply put, debt settlement often ends up destroying your credit and ultimately may lead to asset seizure and bankruptcy. There is a better way out. Trinity Debt Management can show you how to pay off your debt, preserve your good name, save thousands in interest, and in the end, actually improve your credit rating, not destroy it. Say no to debt settlement. Say yes to debt management. Trinity Debt Management. Make the right choice and become debt-free for keeps. Call 1-800-758-5360. That's 1-800-758-5360.
He's the voice of choice. Lou Dobbs leads the independent nation. Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. Only on KFNX News Talk Radio 1100 and streaming live at 1100KFNX.com.
This is Jack Wilinchek on Legalese. Welcome back from break. We've been talking to Risa Simon about her personal experience with receiving a kidney donation. We also have on the line Melissa Blevins, who was her kidney donor. So when we went to the break, we were talking about how difficult it was to... I mean, again, I said at the top of the show, my mom needs a kidney now, and I've offered to donate. But even so, there's issues with a live donation. You know, they've told me that I have to wait, that she has to get checked out first, that I can't immediately donate. Of course, I'll have to get checked out, too. And you were saying that in your experience, you had a good three people who went through the tests even, correct?
Yeah, and the process, Jack, really, in terms of the sequence of order here, The potential recipient needs to be approved by the transplant center. Once they get the green light, then they can bring donors forward. In your particular case, because you are born within a family that has this genetic kidney disease, it is most likely best not to be positioning you as a front runner here for her, should you be tested and show that you also have that genetic disease.
In that regard. Right.
What I would say, this is Melissa,
yes.
What I would say is don't wait, because I think that is really, I think, the message. Lisa is a phenomenal individual, and I thought she was energetic before she got the kidney transplant, and now she is so energetic, but she has just done so much to really move this issue forward. But I think her life message, just by how she lives, is that it's to be proactive. Be proactive about your health and don't wait for someone else to give you the information that may, you know, be the critical decision point. Mm-hmm. So I would say not to wait. Move this forward. That's what Risa did. She took ownership of her health and she marched forward and would not settle for less. And I think that's the real message here. For me, the donor, and what I would say to anyone who is even potentially thinking about being a donor is absolutely do it. I can say it was one of the highlights of my life. And that was even a surprise to me. But it, just to see Risa bounce back metabolically and live, I mean, I feel like a proud mother of that kidney.
And by the way, that kidney has a name. The acronym is MAC, M-A-K, for Melissa's Amazing Kidney, and indeed it is amazing. All the function numbers and all my follow-up tests just show that just an incredible kidney that was donated to me. And, of course, keeping yourself healthy. But thank you, Melissa. I mean, you inspire me, and I have to tell you, when you're the recipient of a kidney, deceased or living, it's an incredible gift. But when it's living, first just to be able to know who my donor was and to be able to have my donor appreciate the heroic act. You know, Melissa keeps telling us all that she's not a hero. She was just doing her part, but, you know, she's my biggest hero. And, you know, I just don't think there's any greater life achievement award than being a living kidney donor. For a recipient, it's just off the charts. It doesn't get any better. And so your feeling of gratitude, and what really inspires me is that someone like Melissa was willing to go above and beyond and make a difference in someone else's life. She not only gave me life, but she gave me the opportunity, because I am so passionate about helping others that were beside me and behind me at the time. She gave me the opportunity to continue to do this work and continues to do it with me now. So we've partnered on this, which is really exciting.
Right. Well, we were saying earlier that there's that feeling, if it makes sense, even with a non-living donor, that afterwards the members of the family can reach out and see how what good, you know, the decision they made has done.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I've seen that go. I've seen that that reunion of families of deceased donors with the recipients, and it's such an emotional event. There really are no words to describe it, but it gives meaning to the loss, I think.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm hoping that your listeners will listen to this information and flirt with the idea. Those that are healthy and looking for amazing opportunities to pay it forward or to give back, you know, perhaps they have a volunteer spirit, they're good Samaritans, they're doing Habitat for Humanity and wonderful things, but it just never crossed their mind they didn't have to be dead to donate.
Right.
And that in and of itself, if that message, you know, if we could start a campaign, because that's how passionate, you know, Melissa and I are. We just really want to increase awareness. You know, 90,000 people waiting on the organ transplant list specifically for a kidney, 5-year average wait, California and New York, some of the, you know, the east and west big states have 8 to 9, upwards to 9 years wait. You know, when you need a kidney today, you can't wait.
Well, you know, that's kind of a strange issue. It's state by state that you register to donate organs. I wonder why there's no federal registry, or is there?
Well,
there's no. Yeah.
There is no federal registry, and that really has to do with the politics of state to state.
Yeah. Well, here in Arizona, are we? I guess we're a little bit better off than states like New York and California, so that works in our favor. But
you know, I'd also mention, Jack, if you don't mind me inserting here, that the difference between a living, and I'll speak with respect to kidneys, because that's where, you know, not only is my passion lies, but also my knowledge. And with respect to kidneys, and Melissa, please tune in if you chime in, rather, if you are compelled to do so. But, for example, Melissa allowed me to end my wait. She allowed me to give someone else my place in line. That was an amazing experience for me. Not only did I end the wait, but I was able to sort of pay it forward, if you will. My kidney's going to last longer, statistically speaking, a kidney from a living donor will probably last somewhere around 20 years, where from a deceased it could be, you know, closer to 10 or 12. So I've got enhanced function. I may live longer, and there's a lot of statistics that will show that an individual that has a preemptive transplant from a living donor, you actually can add a number of years on to your life. There's a quick recovery because I got on the table when I was still healthy. I didn't wait until I was sick. I didn't have dialysis, which also would have really worked against me on that table. And it was a better match. Melissa went through and she may want to even talk about that, the rigorous testing process. And I want people to shy away from that or feel that that's overwhelming. But, it is a process. Melissa, do you want to talk a little bit about testing at all?
Sure. The testing process, and it's pretty much the same at every center. I know at Mayo we are pretty conservative, because we want to make sure that we don't put anyone at risk for any reason, even ever so slight. But there are several tests. One is an ultrasound. There are some blood tests. And then there's some meetings with social work and the physicians. And then they all come together, and they decide as a multidisciplinary team. The interesting thing that I think, and I'm still surprised by this, and even though I've known the statistics for a long, long time, most kidney donors are out the next day. So the surgery is done. It's done laparoscopically, so it's minimally invasive, and then discharged the very next day. So I think that's certainly tremendous steps forward from what it used to be. So. Yeah. You know, you can be off of work as little as 4 weeks. I would recommend 6. But it's really not like what it used to be. And the payoff, oh, wow, just to see Risa, you know, she's just practically glowing.
Yeah,
totally,
that's right.
Worth it.
I can see it right now.
And I would just love for other people that are in need to know that they can, you know, if they're willing to say, hey, you know, here's some new information. I wasn't aware of this. My doctor wasn't telling me this. And to get this information early enough that they can make a difference in their own life, to say, I'm going to take that proactive path, and I'm going to – they don't need to ask. I mean, to ask somebody to be a donor is – You can't even wrap your brain around that.
Yeah.
I would never do it.
Yeah.
But you share your story, and you will be amazed once you get that story out, you know, as your mother needs this kidney. And we would love to find, I mean, if there are any listeners that are intrigued by what we're talking about, I hope they'll call into the radio station. You know,
absolutely.
She's type O, and, you know, she's a wonderful person, and I would just love to be able to find her a donor. And actually, we need several to come forward because of, you know, some of the situations that do come up during testing.
Well, why don't you talk a little bit more about what your organization does now to help make that happen?
Well, you mentioned both websites. I'll start with kidneykinships.org. I created that website as I had, you know, this just profound experience in learning about, as I mentioned earlier, you know, gosh, I have this genetic disease. I think I know everything there is to know. My doctor's telling me everything I need to know, and then I find out I didn't know anything. So I was like, all right, how many other people don't know much about this? So my goal and my commitment was to get information out there, and it's really twofold on kidneykinships.org. My primary goal was to educate potential recipients, CKD patients, end-stage renal disease patients, and hopefully earlier on, so that they could take this information and run and say, wow, you know, I can make a difference in my life. I could live the best possible life, too. I just need to say, I'm in. In fact, it's a title of a new book I'm writing right now called I'm All In today. And I think that the patients have to, the chronic kidney disease patients need to wake up each day and say, how can I improve my path? What can I do? I don't want to just go through the process, get evaluated, get approved, get on the list, and sit back and wait for a call.
Yeah,
we can be proactive, and we can make that process a lot better for ourselves if we get involved. So Kidney Kinships educates the recipient as to how to tell their story and how to organize and orchestrate that process. Okay.
All right. Well, that's our show for today. Again, the website to go to is
www.kidneykinships.org and theproactivelink.com.
Good. Okay. I want to thank my guest, Risa Simon, as well as Melissa Blevins, who's on the phone and is telling us about how she became a living kidney donor. This is Jack Wilinchek on Legalese. Tune in next week. Your regular host, Dennis Wilinchek, will be back on the air. And thanks so much for tuning in.
Thursdays at noon, the Makeover Advice Show with me, Diane Faith, the insider's guide to beauty for both men and women. Thursdays at noon, too fabulous to miss. Makeover,
makeover. HomeSuiteIncome7.com, the powerful work-at-home opportunity that creates amazing before and after stories.
Before, I was an overworked, stressed-out single mom, working a lot of hours, never time for my daughter, never time to cook. My days off, I spent running errands, you know, grocery shopping, laundry, all that kind of stuff. It was very difficult.
Then Cindy discovered HomeSuiteIncome7.com.
Now, I'm home with my daughter. I control my own time. We live an incredible life. I miss nothing in her life. Every recital, every field trip, every single week I volunteer in her class, so I know her classmates well. And we live in a beautiful home. She's got horses, and, you know, it's my dream.
Earn like a CEO from home. Turn your commute time from 2 hours to 20 steps. Log on for free information at HomeSuiteIncome7.com. It could change your life.
It's my dream job.
HomeSuiteIncome7.com. That's HomeSuiteIncome, the number 7.com.
You're listening to KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, Cape Creek, Phoenix, the home of Lou Dobbs, weekdays 5 to 7 p.m. KFNX News Time. It's 5.